Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
It's a Monday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds of the magazine. And I gotta say, these are all some fucking doozies. Top to bottom, doozy.
When you're starting doozy, off with doozy. Limp Bizkit.
Oh, Limp Bizkit buddy. From my hometown of Jacksonville, coming from the town of the unknown. Jacksonville's on the map. Better watch out. Raising eyebrows with the Jaguars, kid. Better watch out. Line them up, cheetah. Anyways, round number one, Eddie Van Halen pulled a gun on Fred Durst in the early 2000s from an assault vehicle. That's it. That's the story. Round number two, 53-year-old Bob Salem, longtime stoolie from Colorado, also made history this weekend by becoming the first person in the 21st century to push a peanut up Pike Peak with a contraption tied to his nose. He did it in a period of 8 days, which is pretty incredible. Round number three, Representative Anthony Brown, a retired colonel and former military lawyer, has introduced legislation that would require the Department of Defense to review sentences for troops convicted of marijuana offenses. That's good news. We need to do that. And I also pulled in that one. We're actually going to talk about what Canada's military status is for marijuana, because they have it all written down. Their order's already done. Yeah. People are like, how do you do it? Fucking do it like this. Like, it makes sense and it's perfectly easy and you can get it done in a weekend if they wanted to have the rules ready to go. Round number four, former CIA software engineer was convicted on Wednesday of federal charges accusing him of causing the biggest theft of classified information in the CIA's history. I imagine that's not good. He's lucky it's 2022, because if that happens in like 1890, that's a yardarm. You're going.
That's
you're
a yardarm.
Hung to that shit. Absolutely. And finally, round number five, the military is funding a living pharmacy scientists can stick inside you. This device will use genetically engineered light-sensitive cells to hack your body's natural processes. And some of the things that we're going to talk about in that is going to make you scared. Because if these 60,000 troops that are in the Army and National Guard didn't want to be get the COVID vaccine, buddy, you want to have a full-out pharmacy flowing through your veins?
You want a CVS inside
somebody,
you?
Dr. Carlson will literally explode.
What if somebody hacks it and hits the Viagra button, you know?
Oh, that would be nice. I mean, you're out there. I think it'd be a good thing to do if you're the doc, if you're the corpsman, and you have that ability, like things are going really bad on an op, everybody's morale real low.
Just give the platoon sergeant
a good boner. Right. Just give him a boner real quick. Like, oh, you're not actually mad, master. You're fucking, look at you with your big old cock hanging out. All that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Whistlepig. If you haven't tried it yet, I've tried a lot. This one's almost empty. Going to open up a bad boy later on. We got Whistlepig. They got the piggyback ride. They got the kinds that are smoked. They got the cocktails that are sitting in my fridge at all times. I got one in three separate fridges in my house, the upstairs, in our bedroom, and then in the pool house, all loaded to the brim with nothing but Whistlepig stuff. You need to get it too, because it's 100% rye whiskey. Let's see what the back of their bottle says. Our vision is to respect tradition, embrace progress, and to bring friends together over the world's greatest rye whiskey. David Pickerel returned to the warehouse to realize his dream of creating the best aged rye whiskey for your cocktail. It's 100% for full spicy flavors, aged 6 years for an unprecedented complexity, and bottled at an ideal strength, stir shaking good company. If that doesn't sound delightful to you, we have different Fridays, my friend.
Yeah. I can't recall off the top of my head any other brands that are talking about bringing friends together.
No, that's true.
Bring I would imagine together. If you drink other stuff, you don't have any friends. You got to drink.
Exactly. You're just drinking by yourself. Not with Whistlepig. You got a whole bunch of friends.
That's the truth.
And we saw our guy, Johnny Fadelberg, absolutely battling the sleep demon at Whistlepig's property this weekend. Dude was on Will Compton's Twitter and Instagram page. And I'll say it. This is what we used to say. I don't know if if this is an Army phrase or not, but we used to say this at the fire range. We're in grass week. If you're falling asleep, bobbing for cock. Johnny absolutely bobbing for cock whenever he had that, which isn't a bad thing, because he said he had seven Whistlepigs before lunch. That'll do.
Jeez.
It.
That'll do it.
That will do that'll it. Do it. We'll get
responsibly here on Zero Block 30.
That's the key.
We update the safety brief too often. There's big news that was coming out of the Food and Drug Administration. Troops are getting it every which way. Even the motherfucking Skittles are toxic, right?
Yep, that's what they're saying. Basically, one of the compounds that colors the Skittles, they're saying, is not fit for human consumption, apparently not safe for consumers. And somebody is suing Mars. A consumer is saying it's a known toxin that causes the rainbow candy coloring or whatever. It's called titanium dioxide. So wow. It's in a bunch of different stuff. Who knows if that's true or not? They're just suing. People are always looking for reasons to sue.
If they win, I mean, Mars has got deep pockets. This could become like an all-time lawsuit, kind of like the McDonald's hot coffee lawsuit that's very well known. If this person can win this lawsuit, that's pretty ridiculous. Really quickly, though, fun fact, I've never in my life, never one time, purchased Skittles. I've had Skittles plenty of times when they're there, Halloween, what have you, but I've never myself gone and picked out Skittles.
Wow.
You know, I don't think I probably have either. That's not one that I would just pick out and buy. If they're there, I'll eat them.
Right.
If they're like in a little bag or a bowl, and then you could mix in some M&Ms just to fuck with people, I'll do that in a second. But I'm not going to buy it. That's not one I'm buying.
But these, they were hot. That was a hot ticket trade item in your MRE, though.
Yes.
A bag of Skittles, people would trade big time for that. And I was more of a chocolate lady myself, but definitely a hot ticket item. A lot of people. 230-pound Nick used to crush Skittles all the time, apparently.
I feel like 230-pound Nick used to crush just about anything that was put in front of him.
Crushed about 9,000 cows a day.
Yeah. But they're saying it's one of those toxins that, like, if you eat enough of them, you probably have to eat a shit ton of Skittles. But the titanium dioxide, it like accumulates in your body type.
Yeah, but you know what? Didn't we all have that person we went to high school with who's like every day they had the routine and they always got the same thing every morning? There was probably a kid who got like Skittles every day. Sure. Every morning.
Steven loved him. He always had boogers dripping down his face.
That person might have to be a little worried right now.
And last fun fact about Mars. Did you know that Jacqueline Mars is the fifth richest woman in the world with a current net worth of $32 billion?
You go, girl.
That's a lot of money. Any guess for the number one overall?
No.
In the world?
Yeah.
Saudi prince, yeah.
No, it's the woman who owns
Australia.
L'Oreal.
Oh, I was going to say this industry. Australia miner lady.
She has $74 billion, the person that owns
L'Oreal.
But
is she happy?
Probably.
Probably. I've never seen a person frowning on a yacht.
And Alice Walton is just a terrible name, but she's the third richest woman second at $65 million. Mm-hmm. $1 billion, excuse me. That's a lot. Anyways, let's move on to a story that I'm super excited to talk about. Eddie Van Halen. Last week, I talked about how I don't like rock and roll. This week, we're going to lead off with a little bit of rock and roll, right, Kate?
Yes, I, for one, love rock and roll. So Eddie Van Halen once held a gun to Limp Bizkit frontman Fred Durst's head.
This article is actually written by GuitarCenter.com.
So. Hell yeah. Oh, man.
Long-time stoolies.
That's one of those stores that I'm always like, do they need a whole center? Who's going there? Do they need a Walmart-sized store for guitars?
There's lots of brick and mortar places, I think, about that.
Like Mattress Firm, which, God bless them, they're great. I think they might be
a small. The leather recliner stores, there's a bunch of them here in Texas. Yeah. How many people are buying leather fucking
recliners
every
day? I guess a lot. Anyway, so Eddie Van Halen, gun to Limp Bizkit frontman Fred Durst's head following a jam session. That is according to a new book by filmmaker Andrew Bennett. The book Eruption in the Canyon, 212 Days and Nights with the Genius of Eddie Van Halen, chronicles Bennett's time with the electric guitar player in 2006 and 2007 when he was filming Van Halen at Eddie's home studio to document the band's reunion tour. So the Durst shenanigans took place several years earlier when Eddie and Fred were introduced at a party shortly after Limp Bizkit guitarist Wes Borland's exit from the band.
That's the guy, the bass guitar player with the crazy black eyes.
With the crazy eyes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big time street cred for that band. That was very cool. After it was suggested.
He used to scare me, honestly. Was when I was big time into Christian stuff and I was nervous about that fellow conjuring some demons.
So their guitarist, Limp Bizkit's guitarist, had left and they're at this party and Fred Durst is talking to Eddie Van Halen and somebody was like, you know what, Eddie, you should work in Limp Bizkit. You should be the new guitarist. So Durst responded that it would be hilarious. The greatest guitar player ever plays with the worst band ever. Ha ha ha. The next day he went to get his gear from the Beverly Hills house and Bennett's description goes from there. So Eddie rolls up to this house where he was, I guess I was a little confused by how this all went down or why Eddie Van Halen was even mad in the first place.
So he had all of his stuff because Eddie Van Halen is not a weed guy at all. And when they came to the houses, Eddie Van Halen doesn't even like to be around weed, the smell of it or anything like that.
Oh, I didn't
know
that. So
they all started smoking weed at this place that Eddie Van Halen was, and he wasn't having it. So he like stormed out and came back the next day. He had already bought this armored tactical vehicle, and it had a turret. So technically in LA, it was illegal. Like, you're not allowed to ride those with a turret on the back.
Old man Eddie Van Halen is pissed then that there was weed and whatever and stuff going on at this party that he didn't like. So Eddie brings this assault vehicle that he bought at a military auction that has a shine gun mount on the back and it's not legal. He drives that assault vehicle through Los Angeles into Beverly Hills and parks it, leaves it running on the front lawn of the house of Limp Bizkit that they're rehearsing in. He got out. He gets out of this military vehicle with no shirt. His hair is in a samurai bun on top of his head. His jeans are held up with a strand of rope and combat boots held together by duct tape.
I mean, that's a visual.
And he has a gun
right
in his hand. Eddie Van
Halen. That is an all-time moment. Like, because Eddie Van Halen at that time, if that was early 2000s, I still think a shit ton. I don't know if a lot of people recognize Eddie Van Halen just out in the street now, but then it was probably more likely. And then now. LA. But I think you noticed. You're like, is that fucking Eddie Van Halen rolling by in an armored vehicle with a turret and a samurai bun on his head?
But I feel like in LA, that's a Tuesday. Like that.
You know, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That asshole answered the door. Bennett said that Van Halen told him of the incident. I put my gun to that stupid fucking red hat of his, and I said, where's my shit, motherfucker? So this is Eddie talking to Fred Durst. That fucking guy just turned to one of his employees and starts yelling at him to grab Eddie's shit, grab Eddie's shit. Eddie Van Halen stood on the front lawn of a residential home in Beverly Hills in broad daylight, smoking a cigarette while holding a gun on Fred Durst as he went back and forth from the house to the assault vehicle, lugging amps and guitars. So Fred Durst doing the hard work himself so he doesn't get killed by Eddie Van Halen. Think about, and this is from our guy, Coley Mick, who works here, who is a
fantastic. I just was reading every blog I could find about it. This happened. Yeah. I guess this news came out originally in around 2020, and Coley blogged it. And I was cracking the fuck up reading his, so I wanted to give our guy Coley some shine too.
Yeah, Coley said, think about how pants-shittingly terrified Fred Durst must have been in this scenario. You think you just pissed off some old man beyond his years, afraid of a little weed, and you'll never see him again. Next thing you know, he calls, and he calls you just to turn your boy, like he, basically, long story short, it's just fucking crazy that this happened. So it's just a crazy, crazy story. And little known fact, as we were looking into it, Fred Durst served in the Navy. I didn't know this for 2 years before he joined. Yes, he served in the Navy for 2 years.
Now that's ridiculous.
There's other photos of him in uniform. It says Durst in little letters on his uniform. And apparently he dipped out of the Navy to become a tattoo artist instead and eventually wound up in Limp Bizkit. Who knows if he was kicked out or if he, I couldn't find much about his time at service. I found a couple Reddit pages that were like, did anybody serve with him? Did anybody know him? No, blah, blah, blah.
I wonder if his dad was, because he's a Jacksonville guy, and there's a huge Navy population in Jacksonville. I wonder if his dad was a Navy guy too. Old Fred Durst, I never would have thought that he'd be a Navy dude.
Yeah, not to stereotype, but going off the description of Eddie Van Halen in the military vehicle with the combat boots on, you'd think he was veteran goofing a little bit.
He really would, just being angry.
And this explains Fred Durst's song, you know, Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water. That's lunch on a Navy ship.
True.
That is exactly what that's like. So
I mean, that is essentially that World War II cookbook that I bought. Like, that was some of the fucking recipes that they would have, like meat and water. Mm-hmm.
Rolling. That's a boat on the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Break stuff. That's,
I think it's interesting.
Drunk Navy guys coming back from a night out.
Just the music industry in general. It just, he's another example of how hard it is to be relevant for a very long time. Cause I think most people in the music industry are kind of like Fred Durst, where they were the top of the top, so popular for a 2 to 3 year or 5 year span. Like, when we were growing up, like, Fred Durst was everywhere. And now Fred Durst probably plays somebody's bat mitzvah for $5,000 just to make ends meet. And nobody really cares about him. So
I think that's because struggle makes art. Like, if you look at a lot of the major, like, if you're in a grungier type of music, obviously this doesn't apply if you're Yo-Yo Ma, but if you're in things like trap music, like, you coming up from the streets, and the same thing with Fred Durst and where he grew up in Jacksonville, like, you have that struggle and that lends the art. When you're a multimillionaire, you can't really, like Eminem, how many times can you possibly make an album about being the best rapper in the world? Mm-hmm. Like, you can only do it so many times. He only went across 8 Mile once. Like, once you're super rich, nobody gives a fuck about your struggle. You're Eminem now. You have $100 million.
Yeah, you lose that street cred.
So, all right, let's move on to round number two. This one is going to be about this fella who I honestly, this story came up because my wife just went up Pike's Peak like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And she said that like walking up and doing the several hours that you have to get, even if you take the train, when you get to Pike's Peak, if you're not used to elevation, that you could start like wheezing, that you're having difficulty breathing and things like this. This fella's going up to the summit of Pike Peak. And the thing that Kate is going to describe, it goes onto his face. It basically looks like one of the masks that they would wear on Eyes Wide Shut with like the fucking elephant or whatever, one of those creatures. It's on his face with a little almost spoon thing that he just flicks the peanut up the mountain as he goes.
Yeah. So this guy, picture Bane from whatever fucking nerd movie that is. Spider-Man, Batman.
Dark Knight Rises. Dark Knight Rises.
Lest we forget. Man. Yeah.
Lest we forget the movie. Mask. The movie that I was in. Lest we forget.
Yes. Lest we forget. And then right in the nose area with a lot of duct tape is just a little kitchen spoon. One of those like plastic kitchen spoons that you use to stir your mac and cheese or something.
Wait, Nick, can you see the picture, Nick? I think I have the perfect reference for this. Is Nick still on?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm here. I just need the.
All right. So look at the sheet, Nick. Can you see it?
Yeah.
If you're at where we're at, there's a fella that has this thing on, the dude that did the peanut. He looks like what Big Van Vader used to wear to the ring on his face.
That was when his WCW days and when he was in New Japan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would come out with the smoke and he had a just crazy entrance.
I bet he would be awesome at flicking a peanut up the mountain.
Yeah, it also looks like a sleep apnea machine. Which
it does. Sleep apnea.
Shout out my Italian dad.
Every
night. All right, dad.
So a man from the United States recently broke a strange record by pushing a peanut up a mountain using his nose. 53-year-old Bob Salem from Colorado also made history by becoming the first person in the 21st century to push a peanut up Pike's Peak with the contraption taped to his nose. A video shared on Facebook in the city of Manitow Springs government showed a part of Mr. Salem's effort that started on July 9th. And it's him on all fours on his hands and knees. And he puts both hands down firmly on the ground, like he's on all fours like an animal, tucks his chin into his neck, puts his nose down into the dirt, the spoon contraption, and then flicks the peanut forward a little bit.
It's impressive the way that he's doing it. But I also think that we need to really point out this type of ground. Imagine crawling on that type of ground for 8 days. Obviously, if you're listening, you can't see it, but it's like pea gravel. It's the really sharp gravel that you would not want to be doing this on. And he doesn't look like he's wearing knee pads.
I was going to say, it looks like he is wearing knee pads.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, he's got some gear on to protect himself.
He's got fingerless gloves on, but I'm not sure. I can't see the actual knee pads.
It's tough to tell. Either way.
Watching the video, he flicks it. He looks up and he goes, got to find the peanut now. He looks around for it, crawls over to wherever it is, flicks it again. Got to find my peanut now. It is painstaking. We're talking, he's only going like 2 or 3 feet at a time with most of these flicks. It took him almost 7 days to complete the task. A ceremonial finish took place on July 15th. He was greeted by cheers, a letter from the city, and from the mayor. Speaking about his history-making feat, Mr. Salem said, "There's no city like Manitow Springs. I'm excited to be the one to bring around this bit of history to celebrate their 150th. I hope everyone takes the time to visit and indulge in the risk." And I bet the city's like, thank God this guy pushed a peanut up his nose, like up the thing, because otherwise no one would have ever heard of Pike's Peak. You know, he really brought a name right to it. Thank
this
God.
Guy is exactly what you would picture, like an old man walking up in there and he needs something to establish himself in the neighborhood or in the town. For the rest of this dude's natural life, he is going to be talking about this when he's on Pike's Peak. And he's going to be there, I bet, 5 days a week talking about it. It reminds me of this dude at the Lowe's by my old house. And he retired. His wife died. And he told me this story like 10 times. And he constantly wore a Top Gun hat. From the actual Top Gun Navy school. And he would talk about being a Top Gun pilot every time I would go in to buy paint. This is when I was doing longtime Thule stuff. So I was there all the time talking about his Top Gun shit. This dude, his Top Gun is peanut up a mountain.
I don't think you guys are going to like my take. Judging by the way you've just reacted.
Okay.
This guy sucks. Sorry. Listen, do you know why it's a world record? Because everybody else in this world has better things to do.
It's
to
come fun up with some and wacky. This guy is the spice of life. People doing weird shit is what makes life fun.
Coming from somebody who gets a paycheck from Barstool Sports, that's outrageous.
The video has been viewed over 9,000 times. It has also accumulated comments.
That is my sneaky favorite part. This news, 9,000. They're like, woo, we went viral, baby. Yeah. 9,000.
Well, I like this little paragraph right here. The video has been viewed over 9,000 times. It also accumulated comments. One user said, "Let's go, Bob," while another simply wrote, "Wow." I just think that's so wholesome. That's so
I wish sweet. We would do that with our YouTube videos. Like, they're like, "Oh, last week's episode got 1,500 and like, great job, Kate. That was hilarious at minute 32:25.
We should start reading the best and worst comments of the week. According to Nine News, the previous record, so someone has done this before and actually several times before cons. So it's a thing. I'm pushing the peanut up the mountain. According to Nine News.
So you're telling me there's more people that are ridiculous.
And cons, record, you've ran multiple marathons, which is easily as worthless.
It is.
Yeah, but I don't
stupid.
Talk about it.
Yes, you do. Anytime there's a marathon, you mention it.
So do I. You have to. That's a rule of the road.
Yeah.
The previous record was 8 days.
Kate just did it. I had forgotten that Kate ran a marathon, but she needed to remind everybody.
Two half marathons and a full. I didn't train for the full. I still completed it in good time.
That is pretty impressive.
Anyways, previous guy pushed it up Pike's Peak 93 years ago, Bill Williams, and he had lost a bizarre bet and had to do it. So I'm picturing.
See, I'm more in on that guy because he lost the bet and he's like, all right, cool. I got to do this because not because he just sat around and had nothing better to do with his day. He lost the bet. And that's a ridiculous bet. Shout out to that guy's friends for coming up with such a horrible, basic old-timey torture.
This was like 1929. I can picture some old guys in a saloon in Colorado.
Yeah. The fuck else
well, if Bill loses this hand of cards, I'll be damned. Then we'll have him push a peanut up Pike's Peak. They did it just because of alliteration.
The depression was over. They had to really make one peanut last.
It was just a silly thing that they, because of alliteration, a peanut up Pike's Peak. And he was like, no, I'm going to fucking do it. This Bill Williams fucking did it.
Do it with a peanut allergy, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'll be impressed. How about this, though? I mean, you look at the Guinness Book and all the crazy, wacky stuff. I think there's so many things in there that they're in there because nobody else thought of it before. I think if we got together, we could come up with doing something, us collectively or one of us, that could get us in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Sure.
Most cigarettes smoked during a PFT.
Or during a podcast recording. I bet that's not one.
Probably a record.
Do it.
Like, I need to know, how do you say to Guinness, like, hey, I'm about to do something that's going to be a record. And clearly it's never been done before. But
you just have to
say,
record
okay,
it.
Cool.
I am a subscriber. There's only like 3 news pages that I follow on Facebook. Guinness Book of World Record is one. Because every week there's somebody doing something wild.
Wait a minute. I just got an email from them. We have one. Most mentions of a former West Point football player talking about how he played West Point football on a podcast.
Wow.
I don't even believe that. Some of the people I know, I don't believe that.
Yeah. Another guy who finished it was 21-year-old rock and roll musician Ulysses Baxter back in the day.
That's a fan. If that guy was a shortstop, he'd be an all-star. No doubt about
Ulysses it. Ulysses Baxter. So he was trying to break into the spotlight for being a rock and roll musician. And I guess his music wasn't quite getting him there. So he's like, well, he alerted all the news media, I'm going to be pushing a peanut up Pike's Peak with my nose. And so he did it. It took him 8 days. Newspapers, radios, and TV stations helped propel his music career. He did hit the national spotlight for a bit after he did it. So maybe what we need to do if we want to get our next 1,000 YouTube subscribers is push a peanut up Pike's Peak with our nose.
No, we got to think of something. There's got to be something better than that. Like
do it all the way, cons, you get... We get to 20,000, you push a peanut all the way across West Point's football field, Mikey Stadium.
20,000 what?
Subscribers.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah. We get to stand by.
But like, look at this one. The last example here in the sheet, this person who's just collected Pepsi cans. There's no talent in that. I'm telling you, there's something that we could do collectively to get us in the Guinness Book of World Records. And I want to hear some ideas. So please start brainstorming.
All right. Let's move on to... round number 3, which today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at BetterHelp. If you push a peanut up a mountain at Pike's Peak, you're probably going to have some mental issues after that because that's going to be very painful. Mm-hmm. I think if I was going to do it, I have maybe 15 minutes in me. That's about it. After that, I'm just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, there's a lot of things that come
competition-wise.
I'm like, I just don't want to do this anymore. That's why I have Ronald McDonald on my ribs. It was a McDonald's eating or chicken nugget eating contest, and I just wanted to stop. I didn't want
to. You know what would keep me going? It's the power of shame. It's the reason I did that marathon is because I said I would do it for charity. I raised a bunch of money, And then the day of the marathon came up and I was like, oh fuck, if I don't, I really have to do this now, even though I didn't, if I don't do this, I'm going to look like a dickhead. So if I had alerted the media that I'm pushing a peanut up Pike's Peak with my nose, then
betterhelp.com, that's how our brains work. So why don't we treat them that way? How can we care for our friends and make sure that they're getting all the help that they need? You can make sure that they're getting good therapy. That's the very first thing I ask somebody. Usually when somebody says, hey, I'm going through some depression or anxiety in my DMs and they'll ask me about it, the very first thing I say, are you talking to a professional? Because I am not one. I'm an idiot. I'll give you as much advice as I have, but that's all I can do. You want to get an actual person that's credentialed in your state and things like that. That's what BetterHelp has. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp by going to betterhelp.com/zero. That's BETTERHELP.com/zero. Again, if you want to talk online, if you want to do video, if you want to do phone, if you want to do messaging, email, whatever, they basically have any type of communication that you want to have on their app. It's fantastic and super easy to use. And if you don't like the person that you get, you just disconnect with them and find somebody else. And that's what I really encourage people to do. Because I know Kate's talked about it before. I think Contest too. One of the most difficult aspects of therapy is finding somebody that you match up with. Like I've been with old dudes who are like 70. I've been with young women who are like 25. And you have to find somebody who matches with you and gives you good insight. And if you don't feel that connection, move on to the next one. And you could do that easily with BetterHelp, which is fantastic. Let's move on to round number three. This one's going to do a little WeChat. And it's about time that one of these, and I'm surprised that it actually is coming from a colonel who is involved in JAG, or I guess not JAG, but the Army Corps of Lawyers, whatever the fuck that's called.
Yeah. And I always like, I remember the first person I knew who got kicked out for weed was my roommate in MLS school, whose last name was actually Stoner. And I've talked about her before, but
new on the button.
Pretty on the nose, pretty on the nose. And then when I got to the fleet, I remember being shocked that people were popping on the piss test. So I was like, people in the military do break rules. I didn't like, I was so clueless about the military. I had no idea. And I remember getting called out of the barracks. Like they had us all form up one night because a few people had popped. And I remember just being like completely fucking shocked. And it was like, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. Like you were fucking gone. You were just gone. That was it. Like you could do way worse shit in the military, and the higher the rank you are, the better off you were. Nothing would happen to you, but a little bit of weed.
And they were honest about it too. They're like, marijuana once you're done, you're not going to be, you're going to get kicked out. You're not going to be able to stay in. There was a dude when I went to MCT, the Marine Combat Training, the school right after boot camp.
Yeah.
When that happened, we had to do piss tests because you're off for 10 days. You do 10 days of boot leave and then you come back. Like two or three dudes popped for cocaine. And I was just like, how? Like, why in the world would you subject yourself to Marine Corps boot camp and then immediately ruin everything by going out and doing coke? I mean, and coke gets out of your system in 72 hours. Pretty you want to goof the first week and you can be back the next week and you'd be fine. You got to be an idiot to pop on coke. I mean, just an idiot. But there's actually an Army JAG officer, not a JAG officer, retired colonel, who is a former military lawyer, and he's introducing some legislation. Kate, tell us about it a little bit.
Yeah. Representative Anthony Brown is introducing legislation that would require the DOD to review sentences for troops convicted of marijuana offenses as a first step in reforming the military's justice system. As states around the country and the House take steps to reform our approach to weed, cannabis, he wrote, to doinks, to fat doinks, he wrote, we need to ensure the military justice system reflects those changes. Brown, a Democratic congressman from Maryland, wrote in a statement to Task and Purpose, today, cannabis-related offenses are treated harshly in comparison with other comparable offenses. These disparities in punishment disproportionately impact service members of color. Even though states such as Minnesota and Colorado have taken steps towards decriminalization, the drug remains on the federal schedule of controlled substances. That means troops can face up to 2 years in prison and a dishonorable discharge if they are convicted of possessing less than 30 grams of marijuana.
Well, that's
they
1 ounce for those that are not doing good on the metric system. That's 1 ounce. That's
me, 1 ounce.
A little less than, or a little more than 1 ounce, actually.
Yeah. They can also be separated from the military through NJP if they test positive for using marijuana. And again, too, like, it is like it always was disproportionate. Like you rape somebody, you get moved over to another unit, to another cushy, whatever you want to do. And you get caught with a little bit of weed and you're completely fucked. You not only that, you have a dishonorable, which fucks you up going forward. And like in the big scheme of things, largely that shit didn't affect anybody's anything. Like,
right.
It doesn't make sense to me though, too, that states have legalized it and legalized the sale of it, but it's still somehow it's on the federal schedule of controlled substances, I guess, because it's not federally legal that they still have that, but it just that the two don't compute for me.
Yeah. The maximum sentence for distribution or possession above 30 grams is dishonorable, forfeiture of all pay and allowances, and confinement for 5 years. An additional 5 years can be added to the sentence if the accused is on duty as a sentinel or lookout on board a vessel or aircraft used by or under the control of the armed forces, in or at a missile launch facility used by or under the control of the armed forces.
So basically, they're just really harsh on these penalties and what they're doing. To give you an idea of how fucked up that is, even in Texas that doesn't have loose marijuana laws by any means, or having 1 ounce or less is still a misdemeanor. So almost every other state in the union would give you a misdemeanor. The military is giving you essentially would be like a second degree felony for this.
Yeah. And I can understand pushing the message of like, hey, if you're the person on duty of the nuke button tonight,
have orders. Like that's what we did with Canada. We looked at what Canada's doing because by and large, they haven't had many issues with marijuana since they have allowed folk to do it. This is their rules. One, cannabis consumption during the entire period of the working day of the military member is completely banned. You can't do it while you're at work. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like that does make sense. Cannibal consumption during the entire period that the member is serving on a domestic operation, exercise, or collective training. So you can't do it if you're out on training. Basically, you still can't do it. So they have all these, which are just basically different ways to say you can't do it at work. But if you're off work, you have an 8-hour gap, you could do it. Just don't be high 8 hours. So if you're coming into work, any duty day, you have to be clean for at least 8 hours. Mm-hmm. You can't do it before 8 hours, and every bit of marijuana, unless you're doing something insane, is not going to have you high 8 hours later. Next, you can't do it 24 hours if you're going to be using a weapon, operating or handling a weapon system, are scheduled to be base emergency response like SWAT or any of the type of jobs that you have to be there. What do they call those? Essential workers. Yeah. Like if you have that, a scheduled operation or exercise, operation of a wheeled track vehicle, service and loading, all those are 24 hours. So if you're going to be doing anything extreme, you have to wait 24 hours before doing it. Other than that, you're allowed to do it. Like if you're off, you're essentially allowed to smoke weed. Mm-hmm. I would bet you would have way less hangovers in the morning. Because if you go to any military formation where you're going to be PTing, everybody, like 50% of folks are hungover. If it's like 5 o'clock in the morning, they just are.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot too, of days. Like medicinal, like I truly believe there is a medicinal. I have family members who have different, all sorts of different illnesses and stuff. And like older family members who used to say like, no, like be very anti-marijuana. And they have found, oh, well, it helps my appetite. It helps me sleep. It helps me this. It helps me that. Like it's a very soft, like smooth. If you find the right thing, like, it can be a very helpful thing. And when you look at the military, it's like, it's kind of a great fit.
Dude, like, a stressful day at work and coming home and just taking a 3-chi and just relaxing on your couch and watching some YouTube videos.
Yeah.
That's way better than going out to bars and getting hammered and shit.
Yeah,
I agree. I just think the biggest hang up and obstacle is that it's still on that federal schedule of controlled substances. So until it's off of that, we can't change how the military treats it. I'm not saying that because I'm not, anti use of it. Cause I think it's fine for all the reasons you all just mentioned. I just think you run into too many problems, too many cans of worms. Like it's like, well, I'm stationed in a state that doesn't allow it, but I went TDY into a state that does allow it. So wait, I can use it there. It's just easier to say like across the military, you can't use it.
But now, easier shouldn't mean that's the way that we do it just because it's
no. Easier. Yeah. I'm just telling you how, and I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, but I think that's how the military approaches it and thinks about it.
And this is something, if Biden wants his approval rating to go up, all he has to do is issue an executive order to the Department of Justice that we will no longer, under my administration, we will no longer prosecute crimes for less than 1 pound of marijuana. And if you do that and you essentially make marijuana legal, where it's not criminal, you decriminalize it. If you do that in the United States, I think his approval rating up because by and large, both parties want that. Republicans, Democrats both want marijuana. It's just people are fucking scared to do it for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like they just don't want to do it. And there is some restrictions.
Everyone's scared of their grandparents.
Right. Like that it's a gateway. All that shit from Nancy Reagan fucking worked.
Does still have that stigma around it.
Mm-hmm.
The people who use it are these degenerates of society, that people who use it are criminals. So, I mean, that is still very prevalent.
the first time I picked up medical marijuana from Texas, I was shocked at how much it just looked like vitamins, because they don't let you have flower here. It's just little gummies. It comes in a prescription pill bottle with my name on it, Matthew Cawthorn. It has this one gummy before bed. And like, that's what it says on it. It's exactly like medicine. And Canada's smart enough where they recognize there's going to be some jobs where you're not going to want to have somebody under the influence at all. So if you're a pilot, if you're an air crew member, if you're going to be doing deep sea diving or submarine service, you can't do it whenever for 28 days before you do any of that stuff. So they have a long period for their jobs that require more focus and things like that too, which makes sense. Just do it in a way that makes sense.
Right.
That's the only... But that's not what the military is going to do.
No, of course not.
Makes sense. Do you guys think this actually goes into effect anytime soon in America?
No. I do think...
Give it a time frame.
15 years.
Best guess.
15 years.
10? 15?
I would say 10. Yeah. I'd say it'd probably take like 10 years. I'd say like 5 if I'm in a good dream world.
I think five.
But can I tell you why? Because they're struggling with recruiting so bad right now. And that's another thing. Like, if I had been fully honest about my marijuana use, I would not have been in the military. Like, I would have, and I know a ton of other of my friends could say the same. Like, and we were all good at our jobs and we cared and we worked really hard. Like, there was no reason we should have been possibly disqualified because we smoked weed beforehand. Like, I feel like it's just a nonsensical thing.
How many times do people in the military show up to work hungover or possibly still drunk, depending on what day they
eat? And sometimes perform better. Like, you could go come in doing a PFT. I've ran plenty of PFTs where I was straight up buzzed.
But you had to be right on the edge of buzz.
Right on the perfect level. Because you wouldn't feel pain. The fastest I've ever ran it, I was just a little bit drunk still.
Yep. 100%. After St.
Patrick's Day. So how do we curb that? Or do you just say that's never going to happen?
I think it's the same rules. I mean, we deal with it at work. Like, if somebody comes in and you're like, if you're in charge, or they come in and their eyes are still red, they're acting lethargic, things like that. There's still ways that you can say, I don't think you're good for duty. And then you start having counseling. Like, this is what you need to do to make sure that you're going to be at work on time. The same exact things that you would do with drinking. Like, if I had somebody show up drunk the first time to PT, I'm not going to immediately give them like NJP paperwork and start filing stuff. I'm going to talk to them about their performance. Like, your performance suffered today because you were ready. It would be the same type of thing. You just have to have strong mentors that are actually able to mentor. Let mentors mentor is a big part of it too.
You're right. But I also think the problem with our military is we act to the lowest common denominator, right? So we think like, all right, the crappiest platoon sergeant, the crappiest lieutenant out there, how are they going to do this? The good ones will do what you just said, but we got to make a standard such that the lowest performers can execute on that. And that's not right.
And I would say that
how do you expect to improve?
Do that. I would say that stop looking at your people that way. Like, if you look, you're much more likely to be able to have the weakest link perform up to a standard than trying to have everybody, oh, well, we have this one fuck up or two fuck up, so we're not going to be able to do anything. You need to have your rules for 80% of your people that are doing good things, because you're always going to have that bottom 10%.
Right.
I mean, that's
and then counsel that bottom 10% accordingly.
It's still doing that shit anyway.
Yeah, they're still going to do it. They're going to fuck it up anyways. They're not supposed to show up to work drunk, but they do it anyways.
Yeah, they'll find a way to fuck up anyway. Yeah. So I think it's interesting though. So what? They're going to go retroactively back through, because it does suck. Like, especially after like the height of Iraq and Afghanistan, mental health has been a huge, huge failure caring for people's mental health, and a lot of people did turn to marijuana. A lot of like still active duty troops who were in pain and didn't know how to like calm their minds and blah, blah, blah. They turn to that. And next thing you know, they're kicked out of the military with no help and no support and no like whatever. So are they saying he's going to try and go back through and fix some of that as well?
Yeah. So that's what they're going to do. They'll be able to go back. Kind of, some states have done it too. Whenever they have released marijuana laws and allow people to do it, made it recreational, they went back through and expunged some of the records.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's asking for people who otherwise would have had honorable discharges. But if it wasn't for marijuana, move them back into the honorable range where they can get their benefits and do all those things that they need to do. Like, and to me, that's an absolute no-brainer. And I wanted to make one point, because at first I was a little confused about it when it said it targets people of color more. And so I want to explain that a little bit. They've gone through and seen the amount of, whenever you have these cases, there's demographic breakdowns, and the punishment for Black military members has been much more over time than white service members. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're saying that it targets them, because the punishment for the same crime has been much more severe for people of color.
They found, remember we talked about last year, I think it was in the Air Force. It mm-hmm. wasn't just marijuana. It was anything
across the board. Yeah.
Across the board. Anytime, say, a white troop got in trouble and a black troop got in trouble for the exact same thing, and the person of color was much more likely to get a harsher sentence, like across the board, for mm-hmm. whatever the reason was. And so this looks like another one of those, like, it's a reason to get somebody kind of. And yeah, so definitely a problem. Hopefully this changes next 5 years. The girl can dream. Who knows?
Maybe. I think probably before that, because I think it is a win. I think it's as big of a win optics wise as getting rid of student loans. And I think those two things are no brainer. If you're trying to get approval ratings,
pretty bipartisan. Like wouldn't be surprised. I can see both sides being like, yeah, this makes sense.
Even there's a super conservative dude here in Texas that runs things kind of like the Koch brothers do. And even he came out recently and said, this is stupid. Like Dan Patrick, a very conservative lieutenant governor here, was like, we shouldn't be pushing marijuana. The amount of money that Colorado and these other states are making, like by having this, did you guys know the difference in states as far as recreational and medicinal marijuana, why they have those categories?
Mm-hmm. No.
So they're more states are pushing to get rid of medical marijuana and strictly go with recreational, because there's probably less
tax money.
I was going to say regulations.
It's the amount of taxes that you're doing. So in Maine, for example, I looked it up for Maine. In Maine, marijuana tax at the medical level is 18%. For recreational, it's 38%. So damn near 40% of every marijuana sales is going back into the state coffers. That's the reason why you've seen education system and infrastructure system in Colorado rapidly increase in the last 10 years, because they've had medical marijuana and their tax and recreational marijuana, mm-hmm. and they're putting all that money back into the infrastructure of the state.
Wow. What if we did that in the military and we had little on base, like weed candy shops, and then the money went back into getting mold out of the barracks?
Yeah.
We put it back into fixing up the barracks. Next thing you know, we got a putting green out there. There's no mold. The pipes work. They have hot water again.
I just think the reason I said 10 to 15 years is that I do think there's just so many people in power who still carry that stigma. So we just have to wait for them to age out, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, Sleepy Joe is one of them too. Mm-hmm. And I think Trump was against legalizing marijuana too,
because they're in their fucking 70s.
Nancy Reagan worked. They worked on Nancy.
Eddie Van Halen.
True. All right, let's move on to round number four. We're going to talk a little bit about the CIA. We won't stay in this story for long, but I was kind of surprised. Did you guys hear this story that happened in 2017? Cons, we were doing this show then, and I didn't hear this. I don't think
we might have done this story, and I just completely forgot. I'm sorry.
So what do we got, Kate?
A former CIA software engineer was convicted on Wednesday of federal charges accusing him of causing the biggest theft of classified info in CIA history. I haven't read the story yet, but if I'm guessing, he walked outside of a base with his cat card still on in his holder. Mm-hmm. And that's what caused this all. That'll happen to any one of you listening out there. Yeah. If you walk off base,
it behoove you to memorize your password, but not have it written down.
Don't have it written down. Mm-hmm. Don't let anybody see that thing. Joshua Schultz
is fucked up with all these, the way that they do these passwords for the military. Have you been on those sites since you guys have gotten out?
Fuck no.
Like, dude, the DOS sites and shit.
Half the reason I don't keep up with any of my stuff from the military that I should is because the passwords are so complicated.
To be like two special letters, two characters, no actual words in it at all. Like, and does all these scans. And then it has to be, I think, at least 12 to 20 characters long. And then you have to pick a picture that corresponds with your password too.
Oh, yes. I have seen that recently with the picture. And I'm like, wait, which picture would I pick again? But anytime you introduce special characters, well, that makes sense. But anytime you implement the special characters into a password requirement, I hate you automatically, because no one uses special characters ever. And now I have to
steal my stuff. Honestly, most of my stuff through credit cards. And then for the simple reason, I watched Warren Buffett talked about it. And he said that every purchase that he makes is on a credit card, no matter what. He makes every single one, because you have far more protections than you do with a debit card. The credit card companies will go after somebody more easily than you can if it's a debit card. With debit card, it's already gone. With credit card, it's not gone. Mm-hmm. the chase or whoever will go after you whenever you do that. I love that idea. And he gets points and all that shit all the time. Yeah.
I did not know that. I'm a debit card lady.
Yeah.
I never use my credit card.
I use it all the time. I started when I watched that interview with Warren Buffett. It's like, well, if he does it, I do it. And you know what? I'm going to Maine, free fucking flights and all that, all the vacations that we take, all because every single purchase, you get 1 mile for every dollar.
Yeah. If you're not racking up points, you're doing it wrong.
I never use my credit card, like ever.
You should start. Mm-hmm. You should start. Oh, well, let's be careful. Let's not just start advocating to people to just rack up credit card debt. You still need to spend accordingly. Just because you have a credit card and has a limit.
Let's give Kate a period of instruction soon on credit cards and how to appropriately use those. Do a little math for Marines too while we're at it. Well anyway, this story, let's get into the story. Yeah.
Joshua Schulte, who chose to defend himself at a New York City retrial, has told jurors.
Red flag.
Yes, automatic. That's always a red flag to me. Yeah. Had told jurors in closing arguments that the CIA and FBI made him a scapegoat for an embarrassing public release of a trove of CIA secrets by WikiLeaks in 2017. Schulte watched without visibly reacting as U.S. District Judge Jesse M. Furman announced a guilty verdict on 9 counts, which was reached in mid-afternoon by a jury that has deliberated since Friday. A sentencing date was not immediately set because Schulte still awaits trial on child pornography possession and transport charges.
This guy's bitch. A real piece of shit.
Yeah, he has pleaded not guilty to those charges. Vault 7 consisted of some 9,000 pages and shed light on a host of creepy hacking techniques used by the agency. The leak demonstrated that the CIA had developed the capability to hack into smart TVs and turn them into surveillance devices. That does freak me the fuck out. I don't love that.
Yeah, but before, like what Chap said earlier, like, are any of us really worried that the government, if the government wants to watch me, what are they really
going to do? This one I am worried about. I hate this shit. The way that's the biggest fuck up of the Patriot Act is extending the NSA and allowing surveillance over American citizens. It's bullshit.
It's crazy. When I was picking out baby monitors, I ended up not choosing the one that I was looking at. People could hack into it and like look at watch your baby sleeping if they wanted to. Dude, like the ones that are super. And so I just went with the simplest. It can only work in my own living
radio.
Room.
Yeah. There's one, we talked about it on Podfathers and it was super scary where there was a video. And I think I actually blogged it at the time. There was a video of a little girl who was probably about 3 years old in her little toddler bed. And over the intercom, you could hear from like their Blink or whatever, probably Simply Safe, whatever they have. And the baby monitor was hacked and somebody, a man, was talking to this baby and like saying incredibly fucked up shit to the baby while the baby's trying to go to sleep. And then they checked the footage and it was true.
It had been hacked. Yeah. No, I went with like the simplest. I was like, yeah, fuck all that shit. Anyway, it had enlisted a previously unknown army of hackers and that those keyboard warriors work around the clock to penetrate all sorts of smartphones, operating systems, popular communication systems like Skype, and even very common antivirus software. So I guess sounds like the CIA, obviously, when all this shit went down, was working overtime and they hired a lot of people without vetting them properly. Mm-hmm. And that's a really scary, freaky thing. According to WikiLeaks, the CIA also hoarded zero-day vulnerabilities, unknown bugs that could be exploited to gain access to tech systems with extreme speed. The government says that these tactics are used to break into networks of terrorists and foreign adversaries. But again, if you have a Joe Schmo that you haven't vetted who's working for you and has access to this stuff, sure, they might be doing that, but who knows what the fuck else they
can
be
doing. And the average citizen is not going to catch them doing it either. Like, they're so sneaky going into your systems and all that stuff, you're not even going to notice. They might just steal your identity like that.
Yeah. Prosecutors allege that 33-year-old Schulte was motivated to orchestrate the leak of all this info, that like he knew all this was going on, which that stuff is actually bad, because he believed the CIA had disrespected him by ignoring his complaints about the work environment. So he tried to burn to the ground the very work he helped the agency create.
This is the worst kind of person.
Yes.
This person, like so entitled, like, oh, you didn't pay attention to me, so now I'm going to fuck America.
While behind bars awaiting trial, he continued his crimes by trying to leak additional classified materials from prison as he carried on an information war against the government. In closing, and also this is the kind of thing like so you wouldn't have said anything if you were happy, like you would have just let this keep going anyway. And so you really do only care about yourself. Anyway, in closing, Schulte claimed he was singled out, even though hundreds of people had access to the info. Hundreds of people could have stolen it. The government's case is riddled with reasonable doubt. He added, there's simply no motive here. Assistant U.S. Attorney David Denton countered that there was plenty of proof that Schulte that Schultz pilfered a sensitive backup computer file. He's the one that broke into the system, Denton said. He's the one who took that backup. The backup he sent to WikiLeaks. The prosecutor also encouraged jurors to consider evidence of an attempted cover-up, including a list of chores Schultz drew up that had an entry reading, delete suspicious emails.
Good God. Yeah.
Laundry, feed the cat, delete suspicious emails.
Stop being a traitor to my country.
Ugh. Yeah, yeah. You might want to be more careful with that. This is someone who's hiding the things that he's done wrong, Denton said. Once the jury got the case, Furman complimented Schultz on his closing argument. Mr. Schultz, that was impressively done, the judge said with jurors out of the courtroom. Depending on what happens here, you may have future as a defense lawyer.
What the fuck is that? Like, the guy is on trial for CIA, the biggest leak in CIA history,
and
a little bit of child porn, and like, you'd be a good lawyer, pal.
I think because most jurors or most judges who have to sit through someone who thinks they can be their own defense attorney,
yeah, was this said?
It's probably like a lot of like Jesus Christ, but this guy maybe at least was coherent and made a good case for himself. But the judge was like, "Guilty or not, that was refreshing. Thank you for not sucking at that." Yeah. You know. So anyway,
maybe he did say that tongue in cheek, and he was kind of making fun of him to his face.
I don't know. I think it might be refreshing. A mistrial was declared at his original 2020 trial after a juror's deadlocked on the most serious counts, including illegal gathering and transmission of national defense info. Schultz told the judge last year that he wanted to serve as his own attorney for the retrial. He's since been held behind bars without bail since 2018.
That's a long time.
Yes.
This I think is fucked up on his behalf. 5 years before a trial is insane.
It's
like
crazy.
Even if you had to do a mistrial and things like that, if you haven't been found guilty, 5 years is so long. Like, talk about innocent till proven guilty. The bond system doesn't allow that. Like, 5 years in jail before you even get a trial?
He complained in court papers that he was a victim of cruel and unusual punishment, awaiting the two trials in solitary confinement inside a vermin-infested cell of a jail unit where inmates are treated like caged animals.
He's 5 years in solitary, or if you've been in solitary confinement for that long, being able to do his closing argument becomes even more impressive because studies have shown that if you're in that solitary confinement for that long of time, you start to lose your ability to communicate, your ability to think sharply and things like that, because you don't have that going on every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's also facing a separate trial over alleged possession of child porn, which federal agents say was found on his devices when they searched his home in connection to the case. And this
and
is
then
where
that
tinfoil
makes me feel
hat Katie,
good again that he's still in jail.
But wait, this is where tinfoil hat Katie says.
Did they trump those charges up?
Are they trying to fucking fuck this guy?
What?
Not physically. They're not trying to.
No, I know that.
But
like, what do you mean?
It's like a stacker. Like, it's a little bit of insurance. If they can't get the conviction on the CIA data dump, then they also have this charge in their back pocket that they can bring in and do a little double stacking.
And if they're the experts on all this stuff, who's to say it wasn't planted and they're blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying, if obviously if it's true, fuck this guy forever.
You have to be such a what's the word when you just think you're so much smarter than everybody and it's escaping me right now because I'm not smart. You have to be so pretentious, narcissistic, to think. You could be a smart person, but so much about representing yourself in a trial is about knowing court procedure and, you know, all the things you have to do everything properly. And people, I think they are. I watch a lot of Law and Order. I know what to do.
Pat Cipollone is the White House chief of staff and one of the best lawyers in the country. He had a lawyer before he went to go talk to January 6th. Like, you don't see any high profile lawyers once they have a case against them that are like, well, fuck it, I'm going to do it myself. Because it's a bad idea.
Because there's also so many ways I think that you can incriminate yourself if you say, you know, the wrong thing. And I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I just think it's such a pretentious move to think that you could defend yourself on such a ridiculous trial.
Would save yourself a good bit of money, though.
That would. That would. Those also, lawyers, they charge a lot of for a retainer.
This guy, I decided to look up. I'm like, let me see how I feel by looking up his photo. Terrible goatee.
Ugh.
Terrible
this
goatee.
This seems like all this is goatee action. Every single good job.
This is predicated.
I wonder if the
jurors
know that he has to have.
No, I saw a
you don't go to trial.
I saw a court drawing. He's got a goatee, chat. And also, there's another article talking about how bad his OPSEC was. He took some of that CIA source code and put it on websites linked to his own personal name, that like anyone could see that was going on. And yeah, this guy, oh God, wait, feds found more than 10,000 images of child. Yeah, this
lock
guy.
Lock this guy up forever.
Yeah,
no, I don't feel bad about the whole 5 years of solitary confinement. Yeah, now, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Crazy
town.
You
deserve it.
Okay, I made my choice.
Let's move on to round number five, where today we're going to talk about a little bit of internal pharmacy. This story made me very nervous when I read it, and I can't imagine what Facebook is going to look like whenever this actually comes out.
Yeah, task and purpose, brace yourself for the comment section on this story. The military is currently working
with
scientists.
This comes to us from Inverse magazine, which you all read, I'm sure.
Oh, longtime stool is over at Inverse. The military is currently working with scientists to develop new technology to implant in soldiers. But this time it has less to do with creating superhuman assassins and more to do with quelling jet lag and chaps.
Diarrhea.
Yep. In May, researchers from Northwestern University signed a $33 million contract with DARPA, our friends over at DARPA. Shout out Bob Dole. alive or has he passed?
No, he's dead now. Yeah.
Yeah, he's dead now.
Okay. Thank you.
Colonel Bob Dole.
Anyways, Northwestern's working with DARPA to develop a wireless implantable device that will function as a living pharmacy for military personnel. It's called a living pharmacy because everything the patient needs can be produced by their own body.
Now, let me just say this before we go. The hubris involved here from the government to say that they're going to do this type of pharmacy when they still have not even mastered the brick and mortar pharmacy is egregious. I go up there to get fucking Claritin and I got to wait 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are not going to be able to do this well.
It's a shit show. Mm-hmm. Called N-Train, normalizing timing of rhythms across internal networks of circadian clocks.
The absolute worst title I've ever heard. I mean, just a terrible name for
Let me see how fast I can say it. Normalizing timing of rhythms across internal networks of circadian clocks. Fuck. The device is intended to control the body's circadian clock and a long-time stool circadian clock.
Oh, big time, yeah.
The device is intended to control the body's circadian clock and eliminate jet lag, fatigue, and even gastrointestinal issues.
Again, with pay the attention. Diarrhea, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pay attention.
I'd sign up.
If successful, the implantable device could help populations beyond soldiers too, including shift workers and the chronically ill. While it may sound like pure science fiction, researchers behind the implant argue it may forever change how we treat disease. Instead of carrying around bottles of stimulants or anti-diarrheals, you always keep that thing on you.
That's one of Kate's, I think, favorite bits of mine is that anytime we go someplace, I always ask her and Cons if they would like a diarrhea pill.
He pulls it out of his sleeve like Elf pulls a tiny bottle out of his little. Like,
anybody needs some fresh anti-diarrhea pills?
Always have.
And I always go with the store brand. Don't ever go with the big market people. They spend so much money in advertising and you're getting the same exact anti-diarrhea from Walgreens. You just are.
I hope you're a test subject for this. While we might not think of fatigue and diarrhea as two major problems facing military personnel, yes, we do.
Disagree.
Those are probably the two biggest things.
Huge.
When you say,
I would say
the troops, the first thing I picture is a tired person on a toilet having diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Research shows they can lead to serious physical and cognitive impairments. The device combines genetically engineered cells and bioelectronics to generate tiny proteins called peptides.
That last sentence is pretty big. And I feel like it's a big sentence for me personally. Research shows that they can lead to serious physical and cognitive impairments. That's talking about diarrhea, folks. Like if you have a little bit of a foggy brain, sorry, I've got diarrhea today. People have 100%. To excuse that.
100%. Diarrhea brain.
Yeah.
Shit brain. The device combines genetically engineered cells. Peptides naturally occur in your body, but the device implanted under your arm or another part of your body, I'd like mine in my balls, please.
Put mine in my urethra, sign me up.
Yeah, put mine right up my dick hole, please. Just like that Brazilian
hold
fish.
That motherfucker open like a bass and just rip that thing open, shove it in there.
Anyway.
How big is that thing? 8 inches. Well worth it.
Yeah, put it in there.
Like fucking Santa sack.
Basically, you put it in your body. The wearer can control the timing and the doses to administer. So maybe there's an app on your cell phone. Beep, I'd like to get my diarrhea medicine every morning at 8.
Or if we go back to round number two, what about if we push that button a little bit of weed, please. I'm feeling a little stressed.
Yeah, a little bit of weed. If it works, little the nose implant beer. Would have many benefits. One, there's nothing to carry around. Everything you need is already inside your body. Two, mm-hmm. there's no restock or refill, which for me in the medicine world, one of the biggest reasons I usually don't continue on with things I should is because I forget to reorder them. Ain't and then after a while I give up. I'm like, oh fuck, it's not fun going cold turkey on psych meds.
Or you'll be like, I don't need this anymore. I've been taking this medicine for 3 months. I feel great. I don't need it.
I feel fine. I forgot anyway. You know what? It's not worth it to start. So anyways, nothing to restock or refill. And while the cells are genetically engineered, the peptides they produce are native to the body. So your body's already used to it. You're not going to have any weird reactions or any whatever. Mm. The last point is why the researchers think a 4 to 5 year timeline to get to safety, to get this done safely is realistic. Because we're going to, they're obviously going to have to do a lot of testing.
And I read some of the research paper behind this. Some of the other things that they're thinking it'll help is during climate change. Like it has the ability to change the physical makeup of your body and how your body is feeling. So what they're saying is if troops are in high heat environments, like in Iraq, when it's 115, 120 degrees, there's going to be in the future a device that makes you feel as though you're cooler. Mm-hmm. So instead of being super hot, it'll allow you to cool your body down by tricking your brain into thinking I'm in a hot environment. I need to cool myself off. I'll just push this little button. Mm-hmm. That shit is insane. And if I was able to cool my body with the touch of a button, there is no price that I would not pay for that to be comfortable all the time.
I think there's two real important things here. Number one, this is something that's going to take a while. So that's why they got to start now, obviously. But number two, how great is it to be a research scientist, right? Because if you just throw together a report, you use a lot of big words and you say, I need $33 million. There's probably not a lot of people who can dispute that. So like, oh, cool. You can tell me all this cool stuff. Whether they make it happen or not, they're going to get that $33 million to do this research, right? So at the end of the research, they might say, oh yeah, actually we can't do this, but thanks for letting us try. Keeps them, you know, flush for a few years worth of research.
This is another
just interesting.
Another cool example though of how like so many of the things that we have and do that are cool start with the military. And this is probably one of the, I think the future will be like, we'll have little implants for all sorts of stuff. I can't wait for the one that puts men on birth control, fixes them all up.
I'm that looking would be nice. To that I think they are developing a pill that won't allow you to impregnate someone.
So you don't have to worry about a pill. You just get your little chip. You know, somewhere in your right up your dick hole. And,
they can do this. Don't get me wrong. There's probably some problems with it. But overall, it sounds like a really great idea if they can make it work.
I would agree with that. And one last note about this. Kate, see if we're on the same wavelength here. Who should DARPA hire for their next round of ideas?
Us.
I don't know. I think any Lance Corporals at the smoke pit. Oh. I think you give them like a case of Natty Light or a case of fucking Whistle Pig. And you're just like, come to DARPA, sit in here, get a little liquored up and tell us your craziest ideas. And they'll figure out how to happen. That's got to be what DARPA. You don't.
Here's the prompt. I mean,
that's more cost effective. Pharmacy.
Get the fuck out of here.
What's the coolest shit you guys wish your bodies could do?
Yeah.
What do you think if your bodies could do something cool that would impress the women at the honky tonks in Temecula? What would your body be doing to get you laid? Yeah. Fly
is the first one. That 110%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get rid of the sunburn fast. That'd be nice too. Let's move into Save Rounds and Alibis. And today we are going to be presented by our good friends at Rocky Boots. If you haven't tried Rocky Boots yet, you're waiting way too long. They just dropped this new version of a boot. It's called the S2V. It's basically the Jordans of the military boot. It's super comfortable. It's very compliant. It's lightweight. It's comfortable. It has drainage vents. It has technology to circulate air, push water out, allowing your feet to dry quickly. And they're going to be a lot more dry than normal military boots. They're going to be fantastic. But the best part of them all, especially if you have little bitch ankles like me, is Rocky introduced a new roll stop ankle stability technology. It's been tested and approved by Navy SEALs and will keep you moving at full speed in the toughest of environment. If you're out of service, Rocky has you covered too. You're going to be hiking like I am. I'm going out with my guy Kyle to Maine next week. I'm going to be wearing some Rocky boots up there when we cruise around the little trails and things like that. If you don't have boots, if you have boots and they suck, go to rockyboots.com, enter the promo code ZBT at checkout. You're going to get 25% off your next pair of boots, whether that's construction, military, first responder, hiking in the woods, whatever kind of boots you need, they have it at Rocky Boots. Just go to rockyboots.com, enter the promo code ZBT at checkout, and you're going to get 25% off. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Nick, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so my save round is just for anyone following the IG stories. Hope you guys felt motivated this morning. You know, I'm trying to get at it, trying to get you guys in the right frame of mind for all you early birds out there. So you're welcome. Hope you felt motivated. That's your motivation.
I love that. You should start putting up what your work of the day is, Nick. See if people want to do it with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll throw it out. I'll put it up. That's not a problem at all. Yeah, because I want to make sure people know what I'm doing there. Not trying to lie out there. Real deal here over here.
Mm-hmm. Integrity. I love that. Mm-hmm. Cons, what about you?
Yeah, just a couple things. Number one, coming off that last story, if we could make sunburns turn into tans, because some of us are challenged as it pertains to a tan, and everybody looks better with a tan. So to help our fair scare brethren, which is most everybody on this show except for Nick, that would be really cool. Mm-hmm. And then a quick officer's corner, because I was reading a blog this morning on barstoolsports.com about this massive fight that broke out at this arena football game.
Mm-hmm.
And this really goes for everybody. There's never a reason to fight at a stadium. I mean, short of maybe somebody
pussy. Yeah. I mean, case from Philly, that's not going to go over well. You got to know your audience.
Yeah, come on. I got pink eye at Veterans Stadium once.
I'm just saying there's never a reason to fight. I think people who are willing to fight at a stadium, short of somebody physically assaulting my wife, there's no reason to fight at a stadium. And I think people who are very quick to get into fights at stadiums,
well, now you just don't said, really have a future. People know if you're out at a game with fucking Alex, the next thing you know is that you're going to get into a fight, Cons. You just showed how people can goat you.
Mm-hmm. Nah. Oh, I mean, there's so many things. Keep in mind, if you're at a stadium, the odds are good you're pretty drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You generally, the second my foot steps into a stadium, I'm about 8 brews deep.
I agree with Cons a little bit, okay, here.
Okay.
If you're going to fight at a stadium, you got to make sure you're at the high ground, though. You can't be punching up. You can't be going at somebody a couple seats above you. You always got to go down so you have that tactical advantage.
Well, that's a classic military tag. Yes, right. You have to have the higher ground. Mm-hmm. Two, if there's kids around, obviously you're a huge piece of shit. But if it's just adults.
Unless those kids are cussing, too. If those kids are dropping F-bombs at Veterans Stadium, I think you're cleared hot.
Then you're cleared hot. But I'm just saying, I think there's a lot of factors that you go into a stadium knowing you're probably going to see a fight. You might be involved in one. You might get sucker punched at some point, and that's part of the thrill of the ticket that you purchase. Exactly. I'd like to see a little bit more of that, to be honest with you.
Wouldn't happen if we legalized marijuana. It would be way too chill.
Maybe we shouldn't, because I quite enjoy it.
Well, I stand strong on you should never
fight. I love seeing the dirtbag Yankees fan get socked in the mouth. There's nothing like it. That's true.
Katie sucker punch, love it. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Cons?
Nope.
Kate.
So there goes my thing about more fighting at stadiums that I would like to talk about. I feel like we've been in a lag and we need more of it, to be quite frank.
Coming out of COVID, we got to get people back in their
coming
mindset.
Out of COVID, people are swinging. We've got a little anger. I think for the working class fella, that's their therapy.
They should have your ability to fight somebody just in the street. You get one fight a year.
There should be a fight section.
You don't get in trouble for it.
There should be a section of the stadium that your odds are good of getting in a fight here, though. So whatever.
Or what about if you had a sticker on the back of your car, like you get like a orange sticker, and that indicates if we have a road rage incident, I'm ready to fucking step out, and you just have to pre-declare it. Like you have to be, I'm a no fighter guy, or I'm a fighter guy or lady. I'm ready to
weapons,
go after it.
Just
no weapons, just fisticuffs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I couldn't agree more. Also, I took my son hiking again over the weekend, and I went back. I'm a creature of habit. I went back to the same spot because it's so wonderful. And same hot dog guy that I talked about the hot dog guy last week, right?
Who
kind of yells at everybody, kind of dick. Guess what? Vietnam veteran. He's a veteran.
Yeah.
He's a, of course he is.
Interview him, Kate. Go out there and interview
him. Seriously. I basically did. He's from Queens. He sat down. He said, oh, there's old Curly Top again when I got in line for hot dogs. My son, I said, there he is. He took a break, came over, smoked the heater right next to my son.
I love it.
And told us all about his life.
He's a Marine, baby. He'll be fine.
And then he yelled, this guy parked a little crooked. And he made this man look like a little bitch. He said, did you just get out of your car? With your car parked like that, are you blind? Do you not see that you're at he made this man in front of his whole family. The guy first was like, because he said it in such a dickhead way. At first, the dad was like, I can park however I. By the end of the conversation, the man had his tail between his legs and was reparking his car. This guy is
so emasculating,
great.
Too, right?
Yeah, oh so emasculating. God.
A Stairway to Heaven trail in North Jersey. If you go, please go to the hot dog guy, but know what the fuck you're going to order. Don't pussyfoot around with whatever you're doing. He's also a former Deadhead. He's
all adding up.
Lived quite. I learned all about him this time around. I feel like we're pals now. Cool. So I really enjoyed that.
Any military discount for you on the hot dogs?
I didn't mention my service in any way. Oh, I didn't want to hear. I don't know how this guy feels.
Hey,
about
buddy, this fucking broad. No, back in my day, WM.
I'm dipping my toes in the water there. I said, I don't know how this guy would feel. So I didn't say anything.
Kate, at what point? Still at what point do you,
I like
do
that offset kick from Kate, though.
Thank
yeah,
you.
That was smart right on the fly there. But at what point, Kate, do you kick Cash out of the carrier and say, all right, it's time for you to start hiking for yourself?
As soon as I'm not worried about ticks and poison ivy, because he grabs and eats everything right now. So it's, I have to be very careful. Whenever he sounds like he wants to get down, I let him out. And so these hikes take, they're not very long, but they take a long time. Cause if he points at something and he's like, I want to get down. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, fuck it. But
just remember, Kate, there's going to be one time where you're going to put Cash down and it'll be the last time you ever put him down again. Cause he's not going to be able to pick him up.
Cause he's going to be too big. Oh, I know. He goes,
same thing, Nick, with Gia.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're gonna be too big.
No way, man. I'm just gonna take she's little, dude. Like, she is a nugget. She's got no chance. I brought her to soccer yesterday, and one of the moms comes over to me and she's like, oh, how old's your daughter? I'm like, oh, she's three. She's like, oh. I was like, what's that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
I was like, what about how cute she is? Anyway.
Oh yeah.
So, I'm defensive, whatever.
That's weird. I didn't know little people ran in your family, Nick.
Dude, my grandparents like 5'4", 5'3".
Yeah. Like my tallest grandparents 5'7" is my tallest one.
Last thing I want to say though, I am getting the hiking bug again, like bad. And I want to do it's like addicting, the feeling of having that heavy pack on my back and like doing like I want to like do something really hard again soon. Like I want to like really challenge myself to do a hard hike. So if you guys know any in the New York City area, send them my way.
An Instagram story series called Humping with Kate.
Humping with Kate. If you want to,
is Kate gonna climb count Mount Kilimanjaro?
I would do it. My dad, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, actually has done it several times. So it's something to remember. I'm trying to think if I have any other. Oh, I tried to take him to a brewery yesterday. Ugh. Dude, straight out of the time.
He's not a big IPA guy.
I saw this thing where this woman was like, it was a military spouse talking about how the parents in Italy take their kids everywhere. Like it's not unusual at 10:30 at night on a Tuesday to see parents out to dinner with their toddler sitting quietly next to them, just like calmly eating escargot or some shit. And they're like, it's because that country embraces family. Like here in the US, people are annoyed you bring your kid places. Mm-hmm. And like there, it's like, no. They're so used to it and so used to going out that like they're super socialized and they're cool as fuck. And so that's why I want my son smoking a cig by the time he's 5, having a glass of red. Anyway, I'm rambling right now, but so I was like, I should start taking him. I've been avoiding taking him out in public, like to restaurants and shit. I'm going to start doing it more. So he's used to it. No, absolutely. Fuck that.
I remember before you had it, I wish we could pull the tape before you had him. You're like, no, I'm still going to be going out to restaurants and doing all these things. And we're no, you're not.
I feel like your son, it's not about any sort of noise he makes. Cause I think he's great around people. He's just very curious. So like getting him to sit still would probably be a challenge.
We went out to dinner. Pat's sister was in town early in the week and we went out to dinner and it was like, you know, in Home Alone, when he's walking down the street and he sees all the families inside eating. Mm-hmm. That was me looking over at the table from the park that I was in, chasing my son around while they were eating at the dinner I was supposed to be at. I was like, okay, you guys enjoy. I'm chasing this kid around. And then I tried to have a beer. My beer just sat outside and got warm while I tried to keep him from jumping off a patio at this brewery. So I'm just, I'm not there yet. Not there. It's not a good time. I don't know. I think if you're a parent who says it's
fun. That takes time though, no? Doesn't that just take some time?
I'm done.
It's not like he's gonna be perfect the first time.
I'm not taking him anywhere until he's 12.
Yeah, we wouldn't do it either.
Anyway.
Last thing I have, I'm surprised Kate didn't mention it. It's kind of fucked up. Big historic moment for women in the military. Kate didn't do this.
Oh, yeah. All of our periods synced up.
No, that's not it. It was actually close, though. The Blue Angels, for the first time, have a woman fighter pilot. Her name is Amanda Lee. Mm-hmm. She's actually on the flying team. That's the first time that that's actually done. So shout out to Lieutenant Amanda Lee, who's going to be doing that. It's a great groundbreaking moment for them. I got to imagine that's got to feel fucking awesome.
Oh, dude, 100%. It's way overdue. I'm sure there's tons of women that
first Blue Angel class after Top Gun Maverick, when people are going to be paying attention again to Navy aviators. Oh, man.
That's
a good gig to have. She's going to be walking in any bar and pulling anything she wants to.
And that's the whole reason you do it.
That is the reason. I mean, honestly, that's got to be 95% of becoming a fighter pilot. You get to wear the jacket and tell people that you are a fighter. Mm-hmm.
That's why I became an MP. I was into abstinence at the time.
All right, we'll be back here on Friday or Thursday, whatever. We'll see you then. It's on the retreat.